Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week begins right here, right now, live on a Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across that Sports Grid network. It includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens, and we are live together here up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. For the next 3 hours, we look back on the weekend that was, with a break now in both the NBA and Stanley Cup postseasons, with the final series set in both of those professional leagues. We continue on after month number 2 of the Major League Baseball season, following the week after Memorial Day weekend, all that we saw around this past weekend in MLB, where there is a new best team in baseball, at least with the best record, and they reside up in the Bronx in New York. A lot of golf to break down from the weekend that was, WNBA action, and as Donnie will detail for you later on, the collegiate capsule with the NCAA baseball and softball tournaments firmly underway as well.
We're scraping here. We'll get you those topics. We'll have some fun, no doubt about it. We'll break it all down because why? The NHL Stanley Cup Finals, can't wait for them. They're next Saturday night. NBA Finals, you got to wait till Thursday here. So we're going to dip down into the Ocho segment here of the Sports Grid Network to get you what you need. And when I say I'm refreshed and ready, a lot of hot tub, a lot of cigars this weekend. I'm ready to roll. Man. Let's do it.
That's what we love, DRS. The mind is right, and we are ready here on this Monday. As Donnie would like to say, new week, new money. We will do that here over these 3 hours as well. And it was a celebratory weekend, not just because of the hot tub and the good weather outside and the stogies on the back porch, but in the Draisaitl household, both Leon and Donnie's, it was a big weekend for the Edmonton Oilers, who win the final 3 games of the Western Conference Finals to earn the Oilers' first birth into the Stanley Cup final in nearly 2 decades. For the first time since 2005, Edmonton is back in the Stanley Cup final, 4 wins away from bringing Lord Stanley's Cup back to the Great White North in Canada. A 2-1 win for the Oilers last night at home in Edmonton inside Rogers Place. 2-1 the victory for the Oilers that featured a magnificent goal from Connor McDavid that got the scoring started last night. McDavid, the best player in the National Hockey League, now has a shot to bring home its ultimate prize.
Yeah, how about this? It used to be when you take a look at the Edmonton Oilers and the way they played, it was a lot of sizzle, but without the steak at this point. And now we are eating steak and eating good right now. Why? Because Edmonton is actually a good defensive hockey club. Who said that? The Oilers, a 2-1 victory here, scored twice in the first period. Hold on after that third period goal about midway through. The Oilers, I mean, we talk about a couple weeks ago, we were saying, like, which teams can get there? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to root for Edmonton here, knowing that it probably is going to end in a little bit of despair. Now, granted, it still possibly can, but this team has showed us a lot over the last 2 rounds here that they can beat very good opponents and beat them in a defensive-oriented game like you saw last night. Let's see where the Oilers wind up here. One thing we know, they wound up in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Stuart Skinner, the netminder for Edmonton, faced 35 shots last night, and he saved 34. Meanwhile, Connor McDavid and the Oilers scored 2 goals, and yet they only had 10 shots on net. They were outshot 35-10 and still emerged victorious as a -140 home money line favorite in game number 6. 2-1, a total stays under 5.5 because of the excellence out of Stuart Skinner last night. And DRS, a small mistake on my end, a correction here. 2006, not 2005, as the Draisaitl household, Donnie Draisaitl, knows very well, but the Oilers still back in the cup final for the first time in 8 18 years. Expected to be here at the season's start, tied for the third best price to win Lord Stanley's Cup, and now Connor McDavid and the rest of the Oilers recognizing that potential. We go Major League Baseball. What a game it was yesterday out in San Francisco. Two home runs for Juan Soto as the Yankees rally in the top of the ninth, scoring four, and they win 7-5. Juan Soto, a excellent weekend out there by the Bay in the series finale. His teammate Aaron Judge, sensational in San Fran as well. They miss Arson Judge up there by the Bay. 7-5, the victory for the Yanks as they complete the sweep over the Giants.
Yeah, 11 hits out of the New York Yankees. You take a look at that lineup, 1, 2, and 3. Volpe, 2 base hits. Soto, 3 base hits. Judge, 2 base hits. That's a way to set the table for an exciting day at the ballyard for those Yankees. Now with 42 wins here, the only question is going to be is Gerrit Cole throwing off the mound now. When is he going to return? And also, what is that record going to turn out to be for the New York Yankees with 42 wins and only 19 losses now?
The best record in baseball. Sorry, it's not really short right there. 42 and 19 for New York. The most wins in all of MLB. The best winning percentage, a few percentage points in front of the Philadelphia Phillies, who we will discuss here as well in just a little bit, going back around the weekend around the diamond. Some WNBA news. What a weekend it was for Caitlin Clark. Of course, a ton of focus after Saturday's game against the Chicago Sky and a foul on Kennedy Carter of the Sky that was upgraded by the W to a flagrant one on Sunday afternoon. With so much focus, we go into a quadruple header on a Sunday. And the Indiana Fever on the road against the New York Liberty get absolutely hammered in that basketball game. New York victorious 104-68 as Indiana struggles on the second leg of a back-to-back. The Liberty easily covers a 14.5 point favorite.
Yeah, it's interesting here that you have a lot of back-to-backs here where it's more like we got to squeeze these games in on the weekend. And certainly if you are on a back-to-back road game, that's going to be tough for you. So a win for the Fever and then a loss for the Fever and a bad one to the Liberty. But we have to say this. What, 12 teams in the league, 8 teams do make the playoffs. Right. There's a lot of really good basketball teams, some higher up echelon, but also a lot of really bad basketball teams. So if you look at the Fever at 2-9 all their season as a wash, it's really not. They're right in it for that 8th seed here to make the playoffs.
And they have been that focal point in the WNBA because of the number one overall pick and the superstar that is Caitlin Clark. Indiana's game last night, the 11th of the season for the Fever. Nobody has played more than 9. That was the second back-to-back for Indiana this year. Only 4 other teams in the WNBA have even played a single back-to-back. Because of all the notoriety surrounding Clark and her Fever team, they have had to play a lot in this grueling stretch. They are off for a few days. It will feel like a pseudo-vacation for the Fever. The Connecticut Sun, though, the best team in the W. They continue their perfect start to this year. Now 8-0 as the Sun show off why they are the best defensive team in the WNBA. 69-50 yesterday in Atlanta. Connecticut covers easily as a 2.5-point favorite. Unsurprisingly, a total of 158.5 stays under.
That's incredible, holding a team to 50 points, which included 7 points in the fourth quarter here, 69-50, 8-0. By the way, that was a dream team that came into this game at 4-2. It wasn't as if they were looking for their first win like the Mystics at this point. So there you go. Sun, best team in the WNBA. We'll find out.
As of right now, one of those 3 teams from a year ago alongside Las Vegas and New York that won 25 games or more. Now to the NFL. The Washington Commanders releasing kicker Brandon McManus after a lawsuit came out a week ago that detailed sexual assault allegations during his time playing for Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's pretty simple in the NFL. If you're an average kicker, they will make a point to release you and say, we won't have this in our franchise. But if that was your starting quarterback, number 2 overall pick, number 1 overall pick, you know what they say, Ben? We're going to let the legal side play it out. We have no comment at this time. That's just the way professional sports operates.
Not in this case, Washington releasing Brandon McManus. Now to the golf, the U.S. Women's Open at Lancaster Country Club. Yuka Sasso wins her second U.S. Open. She has 2 victories in her career on the LPGA Tour, both at the U.S. Open back in 2021. Her first yesterday becoming a multiple major winner at Lancaster Country Club in the 2024 U.S. Women's Open.
Yeah, good performance. And also, when we take a look at the U.S. Open, what do we usually not see here, Ben? Minus 15, minus 16, minus 17. It's a true test of golf here. So low scores there, fun time. But also, we're expecting Nellie Korda to be here on a Sunday.
No.
Blew it up early in that tournament. Didn't even see it. I don't even think she saw the weekend, did she, at that point? So tough.
She did not make the cut, no. Sasso was one of two golfers to finish under par. Robert McIntyre, victorious at the Canadian Open with his pops on the bag, and of course, French Open stuff. Iga Świątek and Coco Gauff on to the quarterfinals. More on the new line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
42 wins for the New York Yankees, the most in Major League Baseball. We recap the weekend that was around MLB live right here on this Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. A sweep in San Francisco. The Yankees win all three against the San Francisco Giants. Make that five straight for the Pinstripes. And again, 42-19, the most wins in MLB, the best mark in all of Major League Baseball as well. The finale yesterday by the Bay, a thriller. The Giants up 5-3 entering the final frame, and the Yankees come all the way back. Anthony Volpe gets them on the board, and then Juan Soto, the game-winning two-run shot, his second home run of the game. The Yanks add on another. The Pinstripes win 7-5 to complete the sweep up by the Bay.
Pretty impressive. You didn't even get a great start out of Nestor Cortez here, Ben. 4 3rd innings pitched, 7 hits, 3 earned runs, but enough to keep you in that game. By the way, it's a 3.46 ERA, which I think the Yankees would take. On the other hand, looking at the San Francisco Giants, you bring in a pitcher that is Cy Young caliber and has won that award before, leaves with an injury after 4 2/3 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 7 strikeouts, and lowering his ERA, I guess you could say, to 9.51. And when you hear a pitcher with a hamstring injury, that's going to be quite some time because you don't get that extension off of the mound. But the Yankees, say what you want about them, their top performers are finally starting to settle in. And you really do have a two-man MVP race now at the top of the American League because you take a look at Soto and Judge. They are absolutely bombing away. And it's also crazy. Like, just say if Soto wasn't on this baseball team, which, again, he is. He's hitting .322. I've talked about this so many times, Ben. The protection that you get at the top of the lineup, which you can't just walk Soto to get the Judge. And that's paying off. .288 Aaron Judge is hitting. Can you imagine if Aaron Judge hits 300 and also how many home runs he's going to wind up with at the end of the season? It's a match made in heaven. Soto and Judge have been spectacular for the Yankees. We'll see where they go in the summer.
Aaron Judge has been unreal. We'll look at the numbers in just a moment. But when you think about where he came from just a month ago on May 2nd, the guy was batting 197. It has been a complete overhaul in the last month. And Juan Soto was that bright spot, even with Aaron Judge struggling. But this is what the Yankees expect to do each and every year. Be at the top of the American League and all of Major League Baseball. That's where the New York Yankees stand as we enter the first weekend and now full week of the month of June. 42-19, winners of five straight. By the way, Clay Holmes, his 17th save of the year yesterday for New York. It was last week at this time, looking back on a Memorial Day blunder out of Clay Holmes where he struggled greatly. Not the case for New York yesterday. 7-5 victory over San Francisco, the sweep complete over the Giants. Now we talk about Aaron Judge. And of course, the RS two summers ago, or two winters ago, I should say, two off seasons ago, there was the idea that Aaron Judge was on his way to the San Francisco Giants. Aaron Judge signing with a team in Northern California. He did not. Of course, he returns to New York. And back in New York, especially in the last month, he has been unreal. 197, the batting average just a month ago. And this weekend in San Francisco, the Giants could see what Aaron Judge could have been. 6 of 10 at the dish, including 2 of 3 yesterday. 3 home runs in the first 2 games. 6 RBIs. 5 runs scored. I am pretty sure I saw a stat yesterday, DRS. The 3 home runs from Aaron Judge in the first 2 games of this series against the Giants, the most hit by any single player inside Oracle Park all year long, and that includes the Giants who play their home baseball there.
I've got to tell you, what's interesting about that, too, is you're right about that. Like, if you say to yourself, that's an unbelievable weekend for any Major League Baseball player, but some might say, yeah, well, he was in Colorado, or he was at home in the Bronx, and the wind was blowing out. Pretty easy to hit home runs there. Not so easy to hit home runs out in San Francisco, as you pointed out, one of the toughest batter ballparks here, and the pitchers absolutely love to go there. Now, having said that, Blake Snell certainly not loving to go to San Francisco right now, but the focus here on the New York Yankees and where they can go. It's a big money market team here that's having a great season, and typically with big money teams, it's not like, hey, you know what? 42 wins, the most in Major League Baseball. We don't have to add on. This is when you want to try to strike gold and even add to that bullpen, add another frontline starting pitcher, add another top bat to that lineup here. We'll see where the Yankees have it, but I love what I've seen. And I always get back to what my thoughts were coming into spring training, because you were getting a lot of bad news on the New York Yankees, not a lot of great news. And here they are at 42-19, way above expectations here, even for the most ardent Yankees backer. They look fantastic right now, doing it in all phases.
Aaron Judge leads all of Major League Baseball with 21 home runs. Juan Soto has the third best batting average in all the bigs at 322, and he is tied for the second most in terms of RBIs. That's 53 ribbies for Juan Soto in his debut year with the New York Yankees. And you're so spot on, DRS. The conversation around the Yanks at the end of spring training with the injury and the uncertainty around Aaron Judge, and namely that of the reigning American League Cy Young winner in Gerrit Cole, who is yet to throw this year for New York. They were 10 cents back of the Astros in the American League pennant odds. Plus 380 for Houston, plus 390 for New York. Virtually co-favorites to win the pennant in the American League entering this year. We know it has not been a good start for the Astros, but New York moved back in the market behind Houston by nearly a buck because of the injury questions. And it was like, uh-oh, here we go again. The Yankees probably going to fall short of that sky-high expectation. It's been completely opposite. And when you see Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, is it really just a two-man race for the American League MVP award between these two teammates? There are the stats. Again, Aaron Judge leads the bigs in home runs. Juan Soto tied for second most with 53 RBIs. And now it's Judge, DRS, 10 cents in front of Juan Soto. It was Soto the favorite to win the MVP award in the American League just a week ago.
Yeah, because the thought process behind that is you're going to take a look at the end of the season. What do we love to see? Well, if you are hitting home runs out there, it's how many you're going to hit at the end of the year. Because if one person hits 60 home runs, the other hits 48, even though the one guy hit 48 and maybe had a better batting average, we tend to look at the home run leader as opposed to the other type of intangibles that you have. But also having said this, like Juan Soto, this isn't like, hey, man, he's really dominating in South Florida where nobody's paying attention and nobody's really critiquing him here. This was a guy that came over to one of the more respected franchises in baseball, one of the more iconic brands in the world here in the sporting atmosphere, and he is absolutely putting on a show in a free agent year. It wasn't as if Ben, hey, you know what? I got my $400 million last year. Now it's all cupcakes from here on out. Like, he's playing that along with his agent to see how high I can get this paycheck to, and he's been unbelievable. Can you imagine in a free agent season, you're going to win the MVP? That is outrageous. Talk about the dollars coming his way. Awesome.
More around the weekend from Major League Baseball comes your way next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Welcome back to a Monday, recapping the weekend that was around Major League Baseball and setting the stage for this week to come. Sunday night baseball in Philadelphia. The Phils looking for the sweep over the St. Louis Cardinals. We were tied at 4-4, going to extras and a walk-off winner for the Cards. 5-4, the victory for St. Louis. They win outright as a slight underdog to avoid the sweep in Philadelphia. Still 41 wins for your Fightins, DRS, just one win behind the New York Yankees at this moment.
Yeah, still up top there. And again, they wanted to get the victory yesterday, and quite frankly, probably should have done that, but didn't. But at the same time, you're saying to yourself, 41-19 on the season, and you still won the series against the St. Louis Cardinals. That's all you can hope for. Now, coming up tonight, an emotional night at Citizens Bank Ballpark with the return of Rhys Hoskins and the Milwaukee Brewers.
Ooh.
We'll see what that finds out. But also, the Phillies getting a little bit injured, too. They sort of skated one because, what was it, Saturday night, which they picked up the victory. Ranger Suarez got hit with a 106-mile-an-hour comeback liner out of the middle. which basically hit off his pitching hand, but that one came up negative on the x-rays, thank goodness on that. Marsh goes down last night with a hamstring injury. Still waiting on Trey Turner to get back. We had a setback on that hamstring injury about a week ago, but seems like he's finally back on track. See if the Phillies do make any moves. But yes, it's been so long since you said, like, oh, the Phillies aren't the top record in baseball. Yeah. It's now the New York Yankees. Phillies still playing some quality baseball at this point. We'll see where they go this week, but a little bit more banged up than they were about a week, week and a half ago.
Yeah, same amount of losses as New York, 19 in total, just one win less, 41 for Philadelphia, 42 for the Yankees. The Phils entered this weekend having dropped two consecutive series, which was uncharacteristic for Philadelphia. They hadn't lost a series since their second of the year, way back in late March, the first few days in April, so Philadelphia gets another series victory. The Cardinals still playing better baseball. They entered the weekend in Philadelphia, having won 12 of their last 15 games. They avoid the sweep against the Phils, one game below 500, but second best record in the National League Central, only behind the Milwaukee Brewers, who had themselves a good weekend, and you take advantage when you play the Chicago White Sox. Speaking of that walk-off yesterday, not quite a walk-off, but a victory in the top of the 10th, Nolan Gorman, two-run home run for the Redbirds to get the scoring started last night in Philly. He also had that game-winning RBI single in the top half of the 10th inning. Now we go around the rest of MLB. I mentioned Milwaukee, 13 games above 500 now, seven game advantage over St. Louis at top the National League Central. They sweep the Chicago White Sox, make that five straight wins for Milwaukee, 11 consecutive L's for Chicago. We knew it was going to be a bad year for the White Sox. It has been that. By far the worst record in all of MLB. And we got some theatrics late in a tight baseball game yesterday on the finale on the south side. Tommy Pham sliding into home, but doing so from the infield grass. And we had a little bit of a dust up where Tommy Pham said after the game in his post-game locker room interview that he fights during the offseason, takes fight training classes so that he can knock somebody the F out if need be. He didn't do that, and Chicago got knocked out for an 11th consecutive time.
Yeah, here's like I think they're 15-45 on the season, which is incredibly terrible. But I did enjoy that post-game press conference because sometimes, look, if you've been there, done that before, back in the day, you were allowed to go from third base to home and run the catcher into like the opposing team's dugout at this point. You can't do that anymore. So in a close game where you're being sent, and it also seems like in that post-game press conference, Tommy Pham was like, I don't know why the third base coach sent me on this because I was going to be out by a mile. Yeah. So he was already angry about that and was out by a mile. But then the catcher basically told him, like, yeah, man, you're not going to do anything. Man, just stay right there where you're at. It's like, wait a second, like I'm not allowed to bowl you over and you're talking trash as if I'm supposed to like slide through you at this point. So I'm surprised it didn't come to blows, because also if Tommy Pham goes to blows with Contreras here, you know, you have a first place team and a last place team. Who cares? Like, fans like, all right, I'm gonna get suspended for 15 games, so what, we stink anyway at this point. At least I'll prove a point. But that post-game press conference was quite hilarious. Like, I train in the offseason for moments like this. We should have used that moment last night, because we would have loved to have seen it.
It was really good. The Twins win the weekend series against the Astros. Houston now DRS. They have lost 7 of their last 11, 5 of their last 7, 8 games below 500. 60 games into the season. They are 26-34. I know you're not buying in, but when are we officially out on the Astros?
I don't know. Tomorrow, like, I don't have a fork around me right now, but tomorrow I'm going to bring a fork out when the Astros lose again.
Put it in.
We can stick it in the Astros. That fork right in them here. Don't trust the Astros. We've seen enough at this point now. Don't trust them.
I mean, listen, there's a large hole to call out of for Houston. Plenty more reaction from Major League Baseball, setting the stage for a new week in the bigs later on in the show. But the NBA Finals start this week. Finally, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are now just 3 days away from night number one, game number one of the 2024 NBA Finals inside TD Garden in Boston between the Celtics and the Dallas Mavericks. Thursday is game number one of the NBA Finals. And DRS, here we are, where the rest of this week, plenty of previews and breakdowns in every different angle you need to know that will decide the NBA champion here in 2024. The Mavericks into the NBA Championship Series for the first time since 2011, when Dirk Nowitzki led Dallas to their only Larry O'Brien trophy. Just the third time for Dallas as a franchise into the NBA Finals. Boston on the other side, plenty more than that. In fact, the Celtics have 17 NBA championships to their name, but looking for their first since 2008 in the long and illustrious franchise history in Beantown. Second NBA Finals appearance for the Celtics in the last 3 years. And Boston remains a heavy favorite. Minus 220 for the Seas to win the NBA championship here in 2023-24 outright. That number has not moved. A couple of the other markets that will determine what this NBA Finals looks like this season have changed ever so slightly, but we start there. Boston still remains greater than a $2 odds-on favorite to win the Larry O'B this season.
Yeah, and if we're taking a look as a handicapper, this is actually a pretty tough series for me so far before these games start up on Thursday night, because you're saying to yourself, from a Boston Celtics perspective, Ben, we knew all season long they were the best team in the NBA, record-wise, and also no doubt in getting that number one overall seed in the East and probably the number one overall seed in the NBA, which they do have. But it would have been nice to sort of get a measured test early on in the playoffs, like a healthy Philadelphia 76ers, a healthy New York Knicks team, heck, even a healthy team that they even faced off outside of the Milwaukee Bucks, but we didn't get that here. And then we saw the Dallas Mavericks throughout the season. We knew they had talent, but we didn't know that their upper echelon talent could play this well and play this well together and be healthy, and now they're finding themselves in the finals and running the gauntlet of a much, much tougher Western Conference here. So as I say, as a handicapper, which two teams am I going to get on the first two nights of the NBA Finals? Is it going to be the Dallas, you know, team that has been phenomenal all the way through? It's going to be a Celtics team. It's like, oh my gosh, we actually got to play a formidable opponent here. We haven't seen this just as of yet. But as a fan, I love this to talk about it, because you do have the upper echelon talent and superstars. You don't have one of those, hey, Cinderella season, let's see if it continues, like quite frankly the Miami Heat were last year. Right. So I'm right now just trying to average in, what am I getting out of the Boston Celtics? Because as you pointed out, they're a heavy series favorite and should be, but I would have loved that they would have beat down the Sixers or beat down the Knicks or beat down the Bucks when they were fully healthy on their way to the NBA Finals.
It's a really good point, DRS, and we'll talk about how these odds are starting to shift ever so slightly to make it seem like we are going to get more of a competitive set than maybe we imagined or anticipated at first. But I had this conversation with a couple of friends on Saturday afternoon over some brews, lively conversation, one of my good friends from outside of Boston. And we all kind of came to the same assessment, which is fun to have those conversations with my friends who don't necessarily work in sports, and then those conversations with you and plenty of talented guests here on the Sports Grid Network. And the overall belief being that Dallas has two of the best players in this series. In terms of superstars, Luka Doncic is the best player in the NBA Finals. You could probably make an argument for Jason Tatum versus Kyrie Irving. I'd give it to Tatum. But when you go two versus two, Dallas is superior. But where Boston has such a stark advantage is the depth throughout their starting five, throughout their rotation, and the return of Kristaps Porzingis, who we have not seen since the opening round series for Boston against Miami. And in that way, the depth you would think in an NBA Finals probably favors the Celtics. The idea being, DRS, if the Mavericks are victorious, it means that Luka and Kyrie outplayed Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and the equalizer was the depth. If Boston is victorious, the advantage wasn't so drastic for Luka and Kyrie over the Jays, and the depth overall for the Celtics won the day.
You're right about that, because you take a look at the Dallas Mavericks and you look at their roster and say, I wonder who is going to step up. And sometimes like, wow, that was a really good game out of PJ Washington. We don't have those surprises for the Boston Celtics, where you say Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to have a quality night. But hey, if I would have told you Derek White splashed five triples, like, yeah, that's what he does. Or if you said, you know, Kristaps Porzingis had 19 points and four blocks and 11 rebounds coming back healthy, yeah, that's what he's supposed to do here. Or if you go to the bench, you'd be like, man, I never figured Pritchard would go 6 of 11 for the game, including 3 3-point shots. No, that's what he does. And that's what we anticipate and why we think the Boston Celtics are better. Because you pointed out here, superstar versus superstar at the front end. That is going to be an unbelievable battle. But I think we're just comfortable saying, all right, if both of those superstar tandems have average nights, who's going to step up? And we think that there's much more talent on the Boston Celtics, rightfully so, that could step up. And that's just where you leave it. Right. And again, so many people will look at the series and say, boy, that's a heavy price on the Celtics. And it is. But again, that price point is there for a reason. It just wasn't, as I like to say, brought out of a hat, like, okay, Celtics minus 220. Yep. Have at it, betting public at this point. The Celtics are a better team. The Celtics are the home team here, and the Celtics are going to be healthy in game number one with their intact starting five. So we'll see what the Mavericks have for them.
And listen, that is a large number at minus 220 in favor of Boston. But the Celtics have been a four-digit odds-on minus money favorite in each of their first three series. That included the Eastern Conference Finals against Indiana. The Mavs a slight favorite in their opening round against the Clippers. Slight underdogs in both of their last two series against OKC and Minnesota. And we had similar conversations. Which dynamic duo was better for the WCF? Was it Ant and Cat for Minnesota or Luka and Kyrie for Dallas? That was the story of the series. That pair for Dallas strongly outplaying the other two on the other side. Luka Doncic, 28-plus points in all five games of the Western Conference Finals. But here's where things have changed. Boston has been the odds-on favorite for the last three rounds, virtually, of this NBA postseason. Boston was the favorite entering the year and became the solo favorite for a good majority of the NBA season. But entering the weekend, DRS, no action, of course, has happened. But entering the weekend, shortest correct score was in six games. Shortest total games was also in six for how long the duration of the NBA Championship Series played out. And if we go back to the series spread, Boston laying a game and a half. For Boston to cover that number, they would have to win this series in six games or less. 4-2 or shorter than that is now a plus money price. Dallas getting a game and a half, meaning this series goes seven or the Mavericks win it outright, is the expected vig right there at minus 134. That has changed ever so slightly, where seven games, the full duration of the NBA Finals, is the slightly shorter and thus expected price at plus 190. Listen, it's a 10-cent gap. It's a 40-cent gap from five, six, or seven. It is not stark by any means, but we are starting to see, maybe, just maybe, DRS, this series expected to be a little bit tighter than previously thought.
I think, I don't say betting public, maybe just the public, probably rooting more for the Dallas Mavericks as a fun story as opposed to the Lakers at this point, or excuse me, as opposed to the Celtics at this point, because you're lining it up and a lot of people don't like the Celtics. I'm in Philadelphia, certainly don't like Boston. There's no real animosity towards Dallas. Now, in other sports, that's completely different, but certainly not in the NBA because of a Western Conference opponent. But if you are looking at that series and saying, like, it has to go six or seven games, these are two quality opponents, well, you take a look at the Celtics and like, yeah, well, every game, no, they didn't even get to a game number six yet here in the NBA playoffs. We'll see if they can actually happen in the finals. And that's no shot at the Dallas Mavericks, where they should be on a competitive level. If we're taking a look at the layoff time between the Western and Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, I think that does benefit Dallas because they need to rest their superstars and get as much energy as they can, as opposed to, you know, you take a look at that path towards victory for the Celtics, which was quick sweeps or gentlemen sweeps, I should say, throughout those rounds before they actually swept the Indiana Pacers. So for me, I'm actually sort of thinking on the shorter side of the series, but this comes to my agreement where I said before this series starts, sometimes I just got to watch these two teams play because I don't know what the Celtics are, even though they have a great, great record here. I know what the Mavericks are, which throws me for a little bit of a loop, which is going to be so much fun breaking this down until we get to Thursday's action.
We will look at game number one and the odds for it and what it means for the entirety of this series from a matchup perspective next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number one of the 2024 NBA Finals on Thursday. The countdown continues here on this Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. The Celtics, DRS, a six-point home favorite. The over-under currently stands at 214 and a hook. There has not been much movement in the odds for the opening night of the NBA Finals. That says 5.5? Or is my eyesight terrible here?
6.5.
6.5. Okay, that's back down to 6 as of this morning, live on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and we are a FanDuel-sponsored show. Over-under, 214, and Donnie, as you look at the odds, Boston has been booked as a favorite in all 14 of their NBA playoff games so far, of at least a 7.5-point margin. This 6-point spread, the shortest in favor of the Seas. Boston, in fact, in their home games, has only been booked as a single-digit favorite once. That was game number 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Celtics won by double digits, covering that number. Meanwhile, for Dallas, 6-1. Are the Mavericks straight up as an underdog throughout this playoff run, so Dallas does not balk at the idea of being an underdog. How do you feel about what the numbers are telling you entering game number 1 on Thursday evening?
I mean, they're really strong at this point, and you're taking a look here. This isn't a surprise, right? You say to yourself, right now, live at the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's a 6-point favorite here for the Boston Celtics. So go take a look at where these early indicators are coming from, and the money and the ticket spreads are coming from at FanDuel. How about this? Percentage of bets on the spread, which just means how many tickets are coming in, don't matter the dollar amounts. 77% of those tickets coming in on the Dallas Mavericks. And you can understand that from a public perspective. I'm getting a really good basketball team that I think can win game number 1, and you're going to give me 6 points. Yeah, that works out. Now, granted, last time I would have told you that with that line and say, you know what? The Dallas Mavericks getting the 4.5 points against the Timberwolves, and now it's up to 5.5, and the public's loving the Mavericks. Let's go the opposite direction. Didn't work out all that well here. So we'll see if that works out in game number 1.
Right.
But that's a heavy number. And also the money coming in, 71% here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, backing the Dallas Mavericks as well, just setting it up for game number 1. Now, the interesting part about this, too, is, again, getting back into what are the Celtics actually? The team that you trusted all throughout the regular season and you still trust in the playoffs, but really haven't played an opponent that's been up to, I don't know, at least being healthy enough to challenge you. We're expecting that out of the Dallas Mavericks. But also at the same time, what always creeps into our minds here? It's not as if both of these teams got done playing Saturday night and played well and are going to match up Tuesday. Everybody's in rhythm and away we go. This is a really long layoff to get ready for the biggest moments of some of these guys' careers. And playing into that in game number 1, that's tough, man. It really is, Ben.
So, Donnie, that was going to be my next question. Rest versus rust, the age-old debate by the time you get to significant games in the postseason. But it might just be rust versus rust or rest versus rest, because Boston's last game of NBA playoff action exactly a week ago today on Memorial Day Monday, knocking off the Pacers in Indianapolis in a tight one, winning the Eastern Conference Finals in games that were closer than expected, but still only 4, a series sweep over Indiana. Dallas's last game was on Thursday. By the time we reach game number 1 of the NBA Finals, that's a full week off for the Mavs. Probably good for Luka's ailing knee, and that's 10 days off, about a week and a half for Boston. Does the rest advantage or disadvantage come into play for either of the two clubs?
And that's what's tough, and this is what's great, where we can line it up until Thursday to say it. But if I have an opinion right now that I'm probably going to stick to here, is I do think the rest advantage really favors the Dallas Mavericks, because we were talking about not Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, hey, banged up throughout the playoffs, be nice to get some rest. We were hearing words from the Dallas Mavericks behind the scenes like, hey, man, Luka is really battling this knee injury, and if it was the regular season, he would miss multiple games, but in the playoffs, you can't do that. So if you give him over a week off, and knowing, it's not as if like Luka's the starting point guard on the Dallas Mavericks, like, hey, look, just get everybody involved here, get your 10 assists, make sure everybody gets their clean looks out here. No, you need him to be the best player on the court every single night, have the ball in his hands repeatedly, and playing over 40 minutes a night. I think the rest advantage right now lines up with the Dallas Mavericks. Why? Because they need their two superstars with really charged up batteries heading into the series, because if you tell us right now, average series from Tatum, average series from Brown, you know what? Celtics probably still in it. We'll see what happens. Average series from Luka and Kyrie? No. They're not even making it to game 6 here, Ben.
For sure. Absolutely so. The burden is going to be on Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Luka's points prop for game number 130 and a hook. Kyrie Irving in his return to Boston, 24 and a half. There are those narratives, of course, to monitor Kyrie back inside TD Garden. I don't think it's going to be a flattering homecoming by any means. And Kristaps Porzingis against his former team in the Dallas Mavericks. Boston has been the expected NBA championship favorite all year long. Co-favorite with the Bucks to win the NBA title before the year got underway, became a short favorite pretty much by the time we got to February into the All-Star break. I bet Boston at a plus 220 number in late March, seeing how the path was starting to play out in the Eastern Conference, and thus here we are. Boston a minus 220 favorite now to win the NBA title. On the other side, though, Donnie, the Mavericks had the seventh best price to win the Western Conference before the season got started. That number and their NBA championship number got longer by the time we got to the All-Star break. The Mavs won six straight, entering the All-Star break in the middle of February, and then went 18-9 on the other side, 24-9 in their final 33 NBA regular season games, as that duo of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving started to click. You said this early on. You know what Dallas is based on what you have seen here in the postseason. You still question slightly what you have seen out of the Celtics. Are you really questioning what Boston is as a team, or is it just the idea they haven't been tested yet in the NBA postseason?
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to trust them as a team because at every turn this year, they proved you they're a great basketball team. And I always like to get back to this premise of, yes, they haven't faced top-level talent in the playoffs, Ben, but it's not as if they were going 6-7 games struggling to put these teams away. They were ending these teams quite early in the series. So I'm not worried about that, but you see the big price tags here in the finals, particularly in game number one. It's just hard to say, yeah, I fully trust this team, but I haven't seen it yet, even though I know they're a good basketball team. But again, we'll find out Thursday night right away who that good basketball team is.
Puck Talk with Donnie and Ben on the other side of the break here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Puck Talk with Donnie and Ben live right here on this Monday, where we saw both of the conference finals come to a close over the weekend and neither reached a game seven. Bad for my bet that had at least one of the two sets getting to a seventh and final game because both came to a close in game six. We start with a celebratory night inside the Donnie Draisaitl household there in South Jersey as he looked up at the Great White North and the Edmonton Oilers. Victorious in game six, a 2-1 final for Edmonton to get back to the cup final for the first time in nearly two decades since 2006. A 2-1 victory for Edmonton. They scored twice on their 10 shots of the game. On the other side, the Stars had 35 shots and only got one pass. Stuart Skinner, the netminder for the Oilers. An incredible goal, a sick, nasty goal out of Connor McDavid got the scoring started last night in game number six. And the Oilers now have an opportunity to win Canada's first Stanley Cup in three decades.
Yeah, I wish my Philadelphia 76ers had played out the way the Edmonton Oilers are playing out now. What I mean by that is the Oilers were bad for a long time. And what do they keep doing? Stacking top pick after top pick after top pick. And eventually, you want to hit on that generational talent, and they got one in McDavid. And you're right. That dangle for the first goal was absolutely tremendous. And I'm watching, you know, the highlights back where the announcer's basically saying, like, forget about, like, actually executing that play. Who would think of doing that in a Western Conference Finals game and being able to execute and pull it off for the first goal of the game, which was massive, lit the lamp, the crowd was on fire, and away the Edmonton Oilers went. But we are looking at this series approach here. And I got to tell you, when we're just reading the lines as handicappers, forget about game number one. The series price here, Ben, Edmonton only a plus 106 without home ice advantage, which again, this is going to start up Saturday in Southern Florida. This is going to be a great series all the way through. Two great opponents going toe-to-toe. We could see lower scoring games. We could also see higher scoring games. Between these two, it'll be fun to see which way the series goes.
And the Oilers had a little bit of fallen promise. Last year, bounced in the second round, expected to be here with the likes of Connor McDavid, who is playing at an otherworldly level. Connor McDavid was expected to bring his team to this stage, a chance to win Lord Stanley's Cup. The Oilers, before the year got underway, second best price to win the West at 5-1, 11-1, tied for the third best number to win that Stanley Cup, and here they are. It was the Stars taking a 2-1 series advantage. Edmonton won the final three games. It was the Rangers taking a 2-1 series lead in the Eastern Conference Finals, and Florida returned the favor, winning three consecutive. Into the Cup Final for a second consecutive year, as the final five games of the ECFDRS decided by only a single goal. The Panthers victorious in Sunrise in game number six over the weekend as well.
And all, you know what's interesting about this too, Ben, because we line it up and just watching hockey and being a fan of hockey, say, boy, this is a really great matchup. But at the same time, you do have a superstar player, McDavid, that people want to watch. But just think of these two hockey markets. Like, yes, Edmonton's a big hockey market, obviously in Canada. But does that resonate with the American people, Edmonton versus Florida? No. Because if you would ask the executives before this series started, which way would you want this to play out? I think they would have both told you, give us the Rangers in there, give us the Dallas Stars. You got the opposite. But as, again, a hockey guy now, I love this matchup in the finals. But it's just a shame that we'll see what the ratings actually turn out to be, because it's not two markets that the national telecast probably won at this point.
No, it is not, especially with the dream of the New York Rangers and maybe the Dallas Stars in terms of just large metropolitan areas. But Edmonton is not only playing for Edmonton. The Oilers are playing for all of Canada, trying to win the first Stanley Cup for the nation of Canada, hockey's birthplace since 1993 in the Montreal Canadiens. But the Oilers are the underdog. Florida is the favorite into their second consecutive Cup final at minus 128. DRS, this is a matchup not only maybe that it's not desirable to the TV markets and the TV networks, but it is the northernmost team in the National Hockey League against the southernmost team. We've got a team in Edmonton, and we've got a team in South Florida squaring off for the Cup.
Now, my favorite part of this series is going to be is how many times on the screen is Wayne Gretzky going to be shown? And certainly, Wayne Gretzky should be in the building on a night-to-night basis, and maybe even to start to sing the Canadian national anthem before the game in the crowd. You want to set it off? Put the 99 jersey on Wayne and put him in that crowd before game number three up in Edmonton. Let's do it.
Oh, Canada's going to go crazy up in Rogers Place. People might even take off their tops. Not sure if you saw social media this weekend, but Edmonton has a very spirited fan.
Where are you living, man?
Uh-oh, commercial break. Donnie Wrightside's got some research. Hour two next.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to five pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.